Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to continue our subject on the wilderness series, and today our subject is going to be temptations of the wilderness, and we want to note the five temptations that befell Israel in the wilderness that the Bible is also encouraging us to beware of or to know about, not to be ignorant of it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and then verse 1 to 13. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, underline ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Please note verse 4. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's fearful. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition or instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with also with the temptation provide or make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. May the Lord add his blessing, his anointing, his liberation, his joy, even to the reading of his word. Amen. Now, we are looking at the temptations of the wilderness. The Bible makes us to know about five of them. From verse 6, lasting after evil things, we've looked at that idolatry, we've looked at that committing fornication was our subject last week. Today we want to look at tempting Christ. I'm inclined to take them one by one, although from the scratch I kind of prepared it in such a way that I can be able to handle all the temptations. But practically, being the first time of teaching this series, as time goes on, we have to improve upon it. So we want to zero in on verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Okay, so we want to talk about tempting Christ, and we want to look at it this way. We want to look at how Israel tempted Christ, how King Saul tempted Christ, how Moses tempted Christ, how Satan tempted Christ, how Ananias and Sapphira tempted Christ. In fact, what I'm going to share with us is going to be basically on the anointing and certain understandings that we need to get in our practical walk with the Holy Spirit, and indeed with the anointing that is upon us and with us. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to share is very relevant to us, all of us, not just people. Who are anointed, who are in the fivefold ministry, but to all of us, because all of us have got a calling upon our lives. I believe that the head pastor has gone through teaching us so abundantly to understand that we all have a kind of call. Hallelujah. All right, so I want us first of all to understand that the rationale for the wilderness, which we said is inevitable in the life of anybody who receives a promise of God, anybody who becomes a believer, the rationale for the wilderness of trials and temptations and affliction is to purify us from within. It's important for us to understand this. We need to lay this foundation, because as we go on, you realize that the Lord is trying to dig within us and search within us so that He purifies us from within. I have to make you understand that the greatest and the most rewarding thing, the greatest achievement we can ever have on this earth, is for us to be like Him practically. It's for us to be like Jesus Christ practically from within. And God is committed to purifying us. He is committed to conforming us to His image from within. The emphasis is from within. He doesn't just want to display something on the outside for everybody to see, and then the inside is not good enough. So Jesus Christ, or God, is committed to purifying us to be like Jesus Christ from within. And within is our real self, not the outward display. So God wants to do a thorough work on us. If you read the book of Philippians chapter 1, we see this commitment of God. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says that, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you, and please underline in you, He began a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you become a believer, God has started a good work in you. And the Bible says that He will continue, He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So until the coming of the Lord, we are going to have God working on us. We are work in progress to purify us within. I want you to note where God is working. He began the good work in you, not through you, not with you. Hallelujah. Not He began the good work with you or through you. He began that good work in you, inside of you, purifying you. Says that He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that shows God's commitment to conforming us to the image of Christ. So the wilderness of suffering and pain, trials and afflictions, we need to understand, do not in themselves purify. Suffering and pain and afflictions, trials and temptations, do not in themselves purify. But the faith that is required to endure these afflictions, that's the purification. Alright? You understand that most of Israel went through the wilderness of purification, but they were not purified. They were not made better. They were, as the Bible said, overthrown. Why were they overthrown? Because of unbelief. Because they did not have the faith to endure the kind of suffering that they were going to go through. So it is not the suffering or the pain or the temptation or the troubles of life that purifies us. It is the faith that we need to endure and persevere that does the purification. So I want to encourage all of us, in the midst of your pain and your suffering, have faith. Have faith in God for the purification to take place. It is this purification that is going to enable us to see the Lord more clearly. Hallelujah. The Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This purification of the wilderness enables us to see the Lord clearly, because it takes away the veil from our eyes, from our inner eyes or our inner faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It takes the veil from our inner faces so that we can be transformed into His image as we behold Him. If you recall, it was through the suffering of Jesus Christ that the veil of separation between us and God was torn from top to the bottom. And it is the same principle, right? Through purification, we see the Lord more clearly. Now, let's look at the subject of tempting Christ.
We first of all look at how congregations can tempt Christ, how Israel tempted Christ. Exodus chapter 17 and then verse 2 and verse 7. Is it possible for us to tempt Christ in this age? Or is the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, our text, talking about something that is too far away from us to bother about? Now, Exodus 17, and then verse 2 and 7. You want to look at how Israel tempted Christ, Israel as a congregation, and how it can be possible for us in our age, in this time, to tempt Christ. You need to understand that Christ is talking about the anointed one. It's talking about the anointing. The Bible says that they drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It didn't mention Jesus Christ. It mentioned Christ. Of course, we know it's talking about Jesus, but we know that the word anointed in the Greek is the word Christos, and that means the Christ or the anointing. Exodus 17 verse 2 says, "Wherefore the people did chide or contended with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? I want you to note that last phrase. It is because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Isn't it a temptation when we gather to question, is the Lord among us or not? Isn't it a temptation in your own life when certain suffering and afflictions are staring you in the face and it's like you are done for? Isn't it possible for you to think and for you to say that is the Lord among us or not? Now, tempting Christ is going your own way to prove the anointing that is with you or upon you. Tempting Christ is going your own way to prove that you are anointed. It is proving that you are anointed or not. Going your own way to do that. Israel, they had this temptation where the Bible says that they tempted Christ and said, Is the Lord among us or not? We have to prove that God is among us or not. That was a temptation. But I want us to understand that God's anointing is not for show. God's anointing upon your life is not for show. His anointing with you, as with Israel, is not for show. It is not for proving where power lies. It is not for revenge. God's anointing is not for money making. It is not for glorifying man. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are going to come to points in our lives because of suffering and because of pain and because of troubles and disappointment for you to ask this question, to tempt the Lord, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord with me or not? But you need to bear in mind that God's anointing basically is not for these things that I've mentioned. It's not for us to prove anything. It's not for us to glorify ourselves or look glorious before people. That is not the reason for God putting his anointing upon us, for God being with us. The anointing shows God's ability, not always his approval. The anointing is the enablement of God. It is the ability of God. And there is a difference between God displaying his ability and God displaying his approval. He can display his ability as he did it to the people of Israel when they said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" He displayed it, but it did not show his approval. God's ability is not to be used without his directions. Otherwise, it becomes an abuse. God did not give us the anointing to be with us so that we can use it anyhow, so that we can use it with our own instinct and inclinations. It should be used with his direction, because it is not for us, it is for God. Otherwise, it becomes an abuse of the anointing among us. It becomes an abuse of the anointing that is with us. Remember, the anointing is not for show. God or Jesus Christ is not a show boy. That is what the devil tried to let him do as we look at the temptation of Christ. I will come to that. The devil wanted him to somersault and become a show person. If really he is the anointed Christ. But he said, no, the anointing is not for that. The anointing is all for display.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. So we need to understand, in our daily walk, we are going to be tempted that we will question, is the Lord among us or not? But we must make sure that we use his directions with his ability, because it is not for us. We should never be provoked by prolonged needs. You see, sometimes in life, your needs can be so prolonged, it is never met. We should not be provoked by prolonged desires. Sometimes our desires becomes delayed. It becomes stretched. Like Israel, they were desiring something, water, they were desiring food, and they said, is the Lord among us or not? Sometimes when your desires are so much delayed, your needs are prolonged, you are provoked to question, is the Lord with me? Is the Lord with the church? When the needs of the church become so prolonged, there is a reason for that. Hallelujah. So do not be provoked by these needs which are not being met. Do not be provoked by Satan. Do not be provoked by men. Do not be provoked by ego to take the anointing with you, or the anointing on you, for granted, and to go your own way to prove it. Do not be provoked. Saul, in 1 Samuel 13, he took the anointing that had fallen upon him for granted. He was the anointed king. He took it for granted by going his own way to sacrifice, because Samuel was delaying. And then the Bible says for 7 days they had waited for Samuel. Samuel was not coming. And all Israel were distressed. Then they were scattering. The army was scattering from him. And then the Philistines had gathered themselves in Michmash. And they were ready for the battle. And Samuel had delayed. The anointing that was upon King Saul was not supposed to be used with his own directions, just to prove that he is a king and he can go on to do this thing. And God doesn't take it lightly at all. Anytime we provoke the Holy Spirit or we provoke the anointing, that is why the judgment of God comes swiftly upon King Saul for going his own way to take the anointing of God upon him for granted. It is the same with Satan. How did Satan fall? Isaiah chapter 40 says, how art thou fallen? How come you fell? How come when you committed that offense, as it were, you were banished forever? How did it happen? Because it wasn't as if the thing was something that he even executed, but from within, Isaiah says that you have said in your heart that I will use the anointing and the ability that God has given me. He is the only archangel that the Bible repeatedly confesses that you are anointed. And the reason why he had to fall so badly is because of the anointing upon him. Because the anointing upon you, the greater the anointing upon you, the more careful you must be in not taking that anointing for granted. You are the anointed cherub that cover it. But the devil tempted or took for granted the Christ or the anointing that had been put upon him. He abused the anointing for wisdom and beauty upon him by conceiving in his heart of using it to fulfill the five ambitions of Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. I will ascend above the clouds. I will ascend above the stars. I will sit at the congregation of whatever. I will be like the Most High God. Five things. He was using the anointing, the grace, the ability that God had put upon him to achieve his own ambitions. And the Bible says that God did not take kindly to that at all, because it amounted to taking the anointing for granted and to tempting Christ. Anyone who carries the anointing must be careful what he does, because you can abuse it. You can make demand on the anointing when God has not permitted it. We need to understand, as I've often said, that God is not there for us. The anointing is not there for us. You are not the reason for the anointing. The anointing is there for a reason that is far beyond you. And you realize that even minus you, that reason and that anointing will thrive. When you die, you will not go to the grave with that anointing. Because an anointing is not about you. It is about what God is about. Sometimes we get the impression that God is there for us. As for God, what is his use? God is there so that he will answer my prayer. But God is not there for prayers. God is there for his own agenda. Hallelujah. We are permitted, privileged by the Lord to be part of it. To be just a part of it. But God is not there for our purposes. God is not there for us. We are there for him. We are there for his purposes. Sometimes we want to give God a purpose because he is purposeless. He doesn't know what he's doing on earth. So we have to dictate what God must do. But he has a purpose. He has an active purpose that he is working out on this earth. So you must be careful about making demand on the anointing, as Israel did. Is the Lord among us or not? Is he there just to supply our water? Is he there just for the purpose of supplying us with manna and with quails? When God has not permitted it, it's a dangerous thing. It is his ability, not ours, to obey. He told Samuel told Saul, King Saul, to obey is that better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey, ladies and gentlemen, is better than sacrifice. To hearken, to have the ability to listen to God, is better than giving him fat things on our own. Hallelujah. It is okay to give God fat things, but the Bible says not when it conflicts with what he is instructing you to use that thing for. That is why he said to obey is better than to sacrifice. And it amazes me, when Jesus Christ was on earth, he would have loved to do many things for humanity, but he only did that which he saw his father do. The Bible says there were many widows. There were many widows there, but he just goes to minister to one. There were many lepers, but he just goes to minister to one. Doesn't mean that he doesn't feel for the others. He feels for the others, but God had not moved in that direction. John chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 19 says that the Son, I don't abuse the anointing upon me. I can do it, but I only do that which my Father says I should do. What my Father is doing, he shows me, and I do likewise. Because we can fall into the temptation of tempting Christ in this modern day in the church. He did not respond to human needs, talking about Jesus. He responded to God's direction, because he understood to obey is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Now let's look at how Moses tempted Christ. How did Moses tempt Christ? How did Moses tempt Christ? How did he misuse the rod of authority that was given him to make demand on the rock, to make demand on the Christ that followed them? Moses made demand on the anointing that was on him and that was with him, contrary to God's directions. He did that because of unbelief, according to Numbers 20:12. He did that because of unbelief, and you know the result. Because he tempted Christ, it costed him an entry into the promised land. He did it at the cost of God's promises upon his life. And in this our day, we need to be careful whenever we are anointed, or knowing that we are anointed, or the anointing of God is with us. We have a rod of authority, apostolic authority with us. We need to be careful that we do not do anything contrary to God's direction because we don't believe. Just as Israel did not enter the promised land, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19, because of unbelief, Moses did not enter the promised land because of unbelief. What happened? In the journeys of Israel, there were two instances that Moses was commanded to draw water from the rock. Only two instances. The first one is in Exodus 17. The second one is in Numbers chapter 20. Okay? The first time, Exodus 17, Moses was asked to use his rod, his spiritual authority, to strike the rock, for water to come out so that Israel could drink. The direction or instruction was that strike the rock, and this was a prophetic act to show that Jesus Christ would be smitten for our sins in order for him to bring forth the living water for the congregation of God. He was supposed to be smitten once. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 25 and verse 28. To strike Jesus Christ twice was something else. But in Numbers chapter 20, the second time, he was supposed to speak to the rock so that the water will come out, because Jesus Christ cannot be crucified twice. He cannot be stricken twice for our sins. What Moses did was that he used his rod of authority, he used his anointing to strike the head and make demand of him. And he did that out of unbelief and frustration.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say it is after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart and make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.